Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Luke Giesbrecht, and today we're looking at Get a Life. Get a Life, standard scoring Dynasty 12 teamer. Rob bought the show. Thank you so much to Rob. Eighth year for Get a Life. Very appreciative on this end to see this league come back for eight years. That's kind of crazy. We do have eight offensive starters and five defensive starters here. It is one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, one kicker, and three flex flexes on the offensive side. And then on defense, we have one DL, one LB, one DB, and two IDP flexes. Luke, we have a lot to get to. They know how it works here. I will say, just as a point of reference here, in a 12-team, one quarterback league like this one, for offense, you're expecting an average offensive value of about $200 in our system. We convert consensus rankings into auction figures. On the defensive side, I actually did not check. I should have checked what an average. Actually, I can tell you, it looks like it's going to be around $50 for defense here, using sort of a standard defensive valuation, considering there's sort of a lower number of IDP starters here in five. So just keep that in mind, sort of 200 for offense, about 50 for defense. Okay, let's get going. We have a lot to get to. We have two divisions here. We got Big Bear and Bakersfield. Let's get going. Lots to talk about. Number 12, Kern River Rats from the Bakersfield division. This is one of those bad rosters, Luke, at least on the offensive side. Number 12, dead last in total and start of redraft value. Running back is, I guess, a position of strength here after grabbing Omarion Hampton at 1.03 to add to Isaiah Pacheco. Technically, they're the number 9 redraft running back group. They're number 8 in dynasty value at running back. The rest of the positions, bottom two. What do you think about this offensive roster?
I mean, I think it needs a lot of work. I think Hampton was a nice touch. I don't know if I feel super comfortable about Pacheco as a running back too long term, the way this team's kind of situated and looking to move and progress forward. Pacheco's probably a player I look to trade if we end up seeing a good week out of him coming here and the Kansas City offense kind of rolling together, just based on what you kind of have on the rest of the roster. When you kind of talk about moving around the rest of the position, it's got some nice young pieces that are kind of, you know, able to hang your hat on. We're currently watching Caleb Williams have a bit of a nice game. That's what everyone wants to see out of Bears fans. And if he can continue to show a little bit of progression to the kind of pedigree Devy quarterback that he was, that might be your one quarterback that you truly need. That'll at least give you something to kind of start with. Hampton, I mean, I feel a little bit questionable about the wide receivers. Like, in a situation like this, Travis Hunter, I think, is kind of the biggest conversation piece, obviously. Taking him at 102 feels pretty chalky for me. That makes sense in this format. I really think you're going to automatically flip him into one of those DB spots. So it hurts your offense from that perspective, but it really does help your team holistically quite a lot.
Yeah, I neglected to check what his defensive stats were. Maybe, I don't know. Do you know what his defense, did he post any defensive stats yesterday?
He got a few snaps. He didn't do a tremendous amount. I was just thinking, this is CBS league, right?
It is. Yeah.
So I wonder if Travis Hunter has it. Does he have dual designation for them?
Well, it's an IDP league, so I'm assuming that he would get points for both sides. Now, whether he can
He'll
be
get
started.
Points for both sides, yeah. Whether he gets the double, looking like he's just gonna be a wide receiver on CBS. So okay. That hurts him a little bit. It's fine. He's gonna play 100% of his snaps. It really looks like, I think, what we all expected. I know there was some kind of fluctuation on what you kind of were hoping for out of him, but him being 100% a wide receiver who plays in some defensive packages really kind of makes the most sense. I don't know, but is Worthy Hunter kind of enough?
He got a tackle.
Yeah, he got a tackle. is Worthy Hunter enough to kind of start to call that a wide receiver foundation, or is that really the position you think they need to look at?
I mean, technically the wide receiver group jumps from number 12 in redraft to number 10 in dynasty, so they are gaining some dynasty value at wide receiver and at running back. And I should mention, Hunter was the 1.02. So they had two of the first three picks. They go with Hunter and Hampton here. Yeah, I mean, obviously you need more. I don't think a two-player wide receiver room is going to be enough as we move to the top of the league. I think we're going to start to see some wide receiver rooms that are pretty darn good. I should mention number five in future draft capital, no 26 first rounder here. They do have a couple 26 seconds, they have a couple 26 thirds, but missing that first rounder next year. So very important for Hunter and Hampton to both hit because they're not going to get a first rounder next year barring another trade. What do you think about IDP here? It's kind of situated in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a nice setup. I mean, being 5-8 count, you're never going to really kind of win leagues with it, but you can really kind of establish a strong floor as much like you do with running backs. That's kind of how we like to approach IDP from just like holistic sense. You're not going to want to carry a tremendous amount of DBs because you're not going to want to use them in your flex spots. You're going to be wanting to use defensive ends who get sacks or just the linebackers who get the tackles. I mean, the only real piece on this is Myles Garrett. Probably get him out the door, if I'm being honest. He had a tremendous week. That always reminds everyone that what he can do, you can really push him to a team who he'll make a difference for, whereas I understand you don't have your own first, so it does kind of hamper you a little bit, but still, I think the days aren't numbered for Myles Garrett, but this is kind of peak value for IDP, so get him out the door as soon as you can.
I should have also mentioned they had a week one inactive Jadon Blue here, so good luck with that. Not happy in the league I have him in. 3.49 is the team score. Helmet Stickers, Gravity Assist, gains between $25 and $50 at Dynasty Value. The Zune, worst rated wide receiver position. Vibram Five Fingers, worst rated tight end position. They get a lot of stickers. Brand new tied for most rookie starters. Let's play this one. Bagheads.
Hi guys, it's Taylor Bisciotti from NFL Network. And this team right here is so bad that it reminds me of the Houston Oilers football team where fans used to put bags over their heads at the games. Honestly, it's so bad, it kind of offends me.
There you go, friend of the pod from NFL Network or ESPN or who the hell knows at this point. It's Taylor Bisciotti, offended by Kern River Rats. Number 11, North Shore Nemesis. North Shore Nemesis. Look, I know Brenton Strange had a solid game in week one. It was very solid for him. That's a clearly winning trade, right? They get a 27 first rounder for and Marcus Davenport for Brenton Strange.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't think of a world where that doesn't make sense long term. I mean, 2027 is a little bit further away, and I mean, there's some time value in that for sure. But especially with a team where we kind of have it where it's ranked, we kind of have a general feeling that this team's not going to be pushing for much. You can wait a couple years, and 2027 is lined up to be a pretty tremendous draft. I think the other trade kind of note, Geno Smith for a second in a one quarterback league, I think that feels like a pretty good win to me as well.
Yeah, I mean, he did look good. You know, it's funny.
He did.
Geno Smith and Brenton Strange both look good in week one, so I'm like hesitant a little bit. That said, they do have Tucker Kraft here, and it's not a tight end premium league. So, you know, Tucker Kraft was also good in week one. They have Jalen Hurts and CJ Stroud here. So Geno Smith ain't sniffing the field barring injuries there. Number 9 in total redraft value, number 7 in starter redraft value. This roster can fight for the playoffs, but they're going to need certainly a bounce of luck. They're going to need some help to do it. I think they had a good week one. I bet they won with Derrick Henry, Jalen Hurts, Tucker Kraft got the touchdown.
Keenan Coleman. Yeah, they had a good week.
Jaden Reed scored, I believe. DJ Moore probably on his way to a good game because I'm playing against him this week.
Yeah, Pittman scored a touchdown. Like, you really couldn't have messed up that wide receiver room this week. I think it went good for you no matter what. So, yeah, they had a strong week.
27.1 on the offensive side of the ball for average starter age. They are losing dynasty value, a little bit of dynasty value. Derrick Henry, the big dynasty loser here, of course. How about this number 3 IDP group? It's one of the better ones in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of set up, I mean, pretty perfectly, right? So they have a couple of the tweeners, I imagine, between Burns and Kyle Van Noy, who are able to pick up some linebacker positions for them. You're sitting on our number 1 and 2 safety room for your DB. When you have Brian Branch and Kyle Hamilton, that is a bit of a cheat code. Obviously, we want to have safeties who are going to be playing 100% of the snaps, traditionally getting into the box and getting tackles. That describes both those guys into perfection. I mean, yeah, that's exactly as I explained it. I'm kind of shocked to see this team this far down. I understand the age obviously is playing a huge part in it. This would be an amazing redraft team. but it has picked up a few draft picks in recent trades to kind of give itself a little bit of momentum from that standpoint. It has some young pieces in Hurts, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman. I mean, maybe Keon Coleman wasn't the sexiest name as of yesterday night to be kind of a dynasty ascender, but we had him on our radar still, and you have some nice depth. I'm a little surprised to see this team that down. Do you think the depth behind, because Derrick Henry, I think, is going to be Derrick Henry until the wheels fall off. Doesn't look like it's going to be this year. Is Kamara, Dobbins enough to give them some depth in the RB area?
I mean, for this year, maybe. The problem really is long term, right? I mean, it's Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, J.K. Dobbins, Austin Eckler. We're talking about age all over the running back spot. That hurts them. The other thing that's sort of sneaky here, they don't have their own first-rounders over the next couple of years. They have incoming ones, which I think are less valued than their own picks would be. So that's just a little bit of a knock on them ultimately. Yeah, I mean, this team, I guess it's just sort of the bounce, you know, the way the team score ends up. I'm sure it's close with a bunch of these teams here coming up. But I do think that this team, with the starters, if they can stay healthy, I think the playoffs are a reasonable goal here. I mean, if that's what they want to do, go for the playoffs. And then I guess hope for the best once you get there. I do think that they're going to run into starting lineups that are just way too talented for them. And if they have to dig into the bench long term, you know, do you really want to be starting Austin Eckler week in, week out? Do you really want to be starting Keon Coleman? We don't know yet. You know, he was kind of absent for the first half of the game. So,
Josh Allen isn't going to throw for 400 yards every game, you know, and they're not all going to go to Keon Coleman in the fourth quarter like we saw. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty the age and kind of where it's going, I think, is really going to be interesting. But, yeah, I think this team's I haven't looked at the rest of the rosters, so this is a bit of a bold take. But I think this seems like pretty securely going to make the playoffs in my mind.
5.02 is a team score. Let's play this one. Tumbleweed. No other stickers. So sad, so boring. Number 10, Balcom Canyon Badgers. The Balcom Canyon Badgers here. Weak roster, number 11 in total redraft value, number 10 in starter redraft value. Doesn't really match what you would expect the roster strength to be when you see the average starter age is 27.4. We have a pretty old starting lineup here. So you'd expect it to be towards the top of the league in value, and certainly in redraft value, and that just is not the case at the moment. You look at the wide receivers are good. Number 5 in redraft value, it does fall to number 6 in dynasty value at wide receiver. That's a legit position with Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Romeo Dubs as starters. Unfortunately, every other position is in the bottom 3. We're talking about a running back group that has one player currently in the top 50 for redraft value. It's not ideal. They don't have a top 15 redraft quarterback. I know Jared Goff is probably fine long term. Like you can, and Matt Stafford, like you can live week to week with those guys. It's still nice to have one of the top 10 guys on your roster. And at tight end, I should just to complete the story here. At tight end, they have Hunter Henry. And Mike Gesicki. So kind of a low ceiling tight end group, even though the floor might be higher than some of the other floors around. Okay, Mr. Optimism. What's the optimistic take for this roster?
Man, I was trying. I was in a good mood, and I was just saying nice things. But this is tough. I mean, I don't love the trade for Stafford. I think 210 and 302 to get Stafford and 307 feels like a lot. I know you only had Goff, and you were kind of, you know, staring down the barrel of, is Tyler Shuck starting? Is Dylan Gabriel starting? Sure, you can get yourself a bye week injury kind of fold in, but I'm not paying a second for a 35-year-old quarterback in a one quarterback league ever. I'm just not going to do it. And then paying the extra juice in the third just it doesn't feel quite right. And then, yeah, I mean, not a lot of nice kind of upside guys really to see even in the running back room. I mean, we saw a tremendous amount of catches and targets out of Dylan Sampson in week one. I don't think that's something that's indicative of any kind of long-term value. We obviously saw Judkins sign.
He also did not exactly, like, maximize his opportunities.
He caught them.
He caught his passes, but his rushing line was pretty bad.
No, it was pretty bad, so.
The real good news here is actually at the future draft capital spot, where they are number one in future draft. Are they number one or number two? Let me just confirm.
Number one, yeah.
Yeah, number one in future draft capital. 226 first, one of which is a highly valued plus-plus pick coming from North Shore Nemesis. We talked about that team, so we're expecting that one. I mean, you think they're a playoff team. We'll see. Could be a playoff team if things go right.
Could
but it could also convey as a top three or four pick next year. So that's a good one to have. They also have their pick in 2027. So the future draft capital situation is nice to the point where if you were suddenly transported to being the manager of this team, is there anyone on this roster that you are not currently shopping?
Probably St. Brown, I think, is probably one of the only guys I would feel comfortable kind of holding. Realistically, when you're in this kind of position, though, any offer isn't something you have to listen to, depending on kind of how it goes. I think St. Brown's kind of style of play and age leans to me being a little bit more comfortable holding on to him. Nico Collins' health scares me just a little bit too much to really kind of hang my hat on him. So I think that'd be the only one I'd look at holding. Obviously, I think if you can get anything for Diggs, if he has any kind of excitement coming out of some Drake May hype, if you can tie those two things together, you take whatever you can get. I mean, yeah, you've got a lot of wide receivers sitting on the roster, so you can kind of churn that into some different positional value, I think. Like, take some shots at some younger tight ends who are sitting on the waiver wire. Just kind of know that you're going to have to make a pretty drastic roster churn here moving forward. But IDP-wise, I don't think there's a ton to talk about. I mean, Derwin James is nice, potentially, if you can get any value for IDP. It's always hard, specifically at the safety position. Derwin's going to get you points. That's nice. Rousseau obviously is kind of always someone we hope to see a little bit more than we do out of. And then Nnamdi Nwabuki is probably one of the only defensive tackles I'd really consider holding just based on scoring for format. So, yeah, it's okay, but there's not really much to be done there.
They actually picked up Derwin James in the draft. They didn't have a first or second round pick.
Oh,
here.
Man. Like, yeah, Derwin going 603. Crazy.
They also had the cardinal sin of drafting way too many Browns. Way too many Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, here. It never works out for anyone, even the Browns.
5.32 is the team score. Helmet Sicker here. Let's see. Okay, so life moves pretty fast. Oldest projected starting lineup. Ford Pinto, worst rated running back position. Let's play this one. Jacked.
Jacked.
I'm jacked. I'm jacked to the tits.
Good.
Do you feel it?
No.
For having the most future draft capital. Number nine, Tasmania Devils. The old Tasmania Devils. How are those Tasmania Devils? I remember there was like they had a disease. There was like some kind of disease attacking all the Tasmanian Devils. I wonder how they're doing these days. Anyway, Bakersfield Division here. Number 12, IDP. I mean, let's start with IDP. When do we ever start with IDP? We should do it here. Dead last. Does it matter? It might matter.
I mean, it matters if you're trying to win games, for sure. It's a disaster for a lot of reasons. I think just based on the way we're seeing kind of very good players being able to be picked up in the sixth round of kind of the draft and just kind of where they're going. So I think you can definitely make moves one way or another. There's definitely good players on waivers, just how light everybody's carrying it. Dante Fowler needs to be churned over, even though he kind of shows some pop. Hassan Reddick let go. Don't carry cornerbacks, even if they're Riley Moss. It's just if the depth is this low, you should either just be always just be getting strong safeties. There's 32 strong safeties in the league. They're all playing in the box and they're all getting tackles. I don't want to be living and dying on the fact of how many times my player got targeted and whether or not they were able to get a hand and bat a ball, or maybe if we're lucky, get an interception. Bet on tackles, go that direction. Chris Jones is great. He's a defensive tackle. You don't have to have defensive tackles, but if you're going to pick one, that's a decent one. He's getting old, though, and he's starting to become way more of a rotational piece for a Spags defense.
And extra ornery these days. You know, it matters because this roster, the offensive roster, is very much in the middle of the league, which puts them smack dab in like a life and death battle for a playoff spot. Number 7 in total value, number 6 in starter redraft value. Certainly have playoff hopes, especially if Bowers' knee is okay. I think the first report I saw was that it wasn't like overly concerning, but I think he did leave that game.
Yeah, missed the fourth quarter, but it was kind of a no news is good news situation. I'm a very heavy Bowers owner, so I had some stress moments. But it's kind of one of those things where if you haven't heard that his knee is just obliterated in the first kind of 6 hours, probably a good sign that it's going to be something that's going to not be season ending, at least. And I mean, have some depth at that position. Dallas Goedert was a target hog, much to AJ Brown's chagrin. Obviously that offense is never going to be a tremendous powerhouse through the air, but he's serviceable in a spot start.
Outside of tight end, the other positions are all really middling. They're very much in the middle. Number 7 quarterback, number 8 running back, number 7 wide receiver. There's not a high ceiling play at the other positions. I mean, together, right? Like Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, George Pickens is probably a high ceiling group in general. But like week to week, you're kind of worried about the floor there as well. Rashee Rice coming back from suspension. You know, this is a team where wide receiver eventually, once Rice is back, could be a bit foundational.
Hey, let's not overlook wide receiver 1, Quentin Johnston. I mean, if he can continue to produce at that level on our benches, we're all going to be very excited about it. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. It's a tough one. I think Tyreek Hill is starting to be someone that everyone's pushing the panic button on. And I mean, I think as an owner, you kind of need to ride this storm out because no one's going to offer you anything that's more than just pennies on the dollar at this point. Adams, I think we saw a bit of an interesting chemistry with Stafford there, and that could work out. But you're right. It's definitely not going to be something that really pushes them. Quarterback, I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously, I think this team probably started Patrick Mahomes and had Justin Fields on their bench, so that was probably a bit of a tough one to look at this week. I know I did that a few times, playing the safer options and having Justin Fields just look very good, honestly.
At least they got a good game from Mahomes. I started Joe Burrow over Justin Fields.
Right. Something you do 100 times out of 100, but here we are, as is fantasy football. How do you feel about addressing the running back position? This is a team that had 2 first-round draft picks, and they went running back, knowing this roster construction. Like, I think the Henderson pick feels pretty good. Johnson pick's kind of tough. Maybe I've got a little bit of hindsight bias on it at this point.
Yeah, I was not a huge Caleb Johnson guy. It doesn't look great after week 1, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I think, in theory, it's not a terrible idea because, again, when Rashee Rice comes back, we talked about Justin. I mean, there's a world where Fields is just cleaning up all year if he can stay healthy. You have Bowers. Like, you can kind of squint and see a world where this team outside of running back is actually pretty good. Right. So if you get running back in order, maybe you can make a run. We'll see. I also like the Luther Burden pick at 2.04. Doesn't look like he's getting a ton of usage right now, but sort of a long-term pick there. This team more or less holds their dynasty value. We haven't really seen a young team yet. 27.7 average starter age here on offense. Just holding dynasty value, and that's only because Rashee Rice lost a lot of redraft value, so he gains back a bunch of dynasty value. How about IDP dead last in the league?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we broke it down a little bit at the start. I think there's not a ton
about that.
There's not really a ton to look at. I mean, they need to, I think once we've looked at this offense, though, to kind of put a cap on it, is they need to go make some adjustments because you're right. I think the offensive side of this ball is close enough to be pushing for the playoffs that you need to fix IDP.
Team score here, 5.38. Helmet sticker, 10 ply.
You're fucking 10 ply, bud.
For the lowest rated IDP. I don't get to play it very often. Number 8, Pumpkin Center Pirates, also from the Bakersfield. I feel like we've seen a lot of Bakersfield teams so far. Pumpkin Center Pirates, Bakersfield Division. Lots of second round picks here, and I have to say, not my favorite second round picks outside of Cam Ward, who looked okay. Cam Scadaboo, 2.07. Mason Taylor, 2.08. Bashaul Tootin, 2.09. I guess you have to feel a little bit better about Tootin right now. I don't even know, because they just traded Tank Bigsby to the Eagles. But LaQuint Allen was getting the second most touches. So I don't know what the hell is going on with Bashaul Tootin. He's there. They got him late in the second round. Also, Pat Bryant, late second round pick. I really liked Abdul Carter. I didn't see. I'm not as much of an IDP guy. What did Abdul Carter do yesterday? Was he big?
Not much. He had a decent rotation. We were mostly looking for snaps. It looked good. the Giants are going to be a bit of a mess for the year, but I do think that defense has some opportunities to kind of get some pretty good pressures. So I think it's fine. It's like a little early for when I want to kind of take the marquee IDP side of things. Someone's going to do it, though, so if you really want Carter, that's probably where you have to make the move. Like, he wasn't going to fall beyond that. This was a team that was kind of their last pick to take the shot at him, so it's fine. I agree with your analysis of the second round, for that, which was mostly just this team drafting. Pat Bryant feels early. I didn't like Scadaboo, but at 207, that is pretty chalky. Mason Taylor, I think, was a nice pick. He saw some pretty nice usage yesterday. Wouldn't necessarily say this was a team that needed to address tight end right away. When we kind of look at them, they had Evan Engram, Dalton Kincaid. Made me look quite smart, as I was saying all summer. There's no way this guy's not a tight end one. Josh Allen proved me right, at least for 1 week, and now you've added Mason Taylor to that. So it's a decent room from a depth perspective, although we don't love it. It's number 9 for redraft, a little bit of a boost, and it's number 7 for dynasty. That's okay. Rest of the three position groups are all pretty much dead middle, right? We've got number 6 for redraft quarterback, number 5 for running back, number 6 for wide receiver. What room of those do you feel best about?
I mean, in theory, wide receiver. See, the problem with running back to me is just, again, it's age. Like, is James Conner going to keep holding on to that job? I thought Trey Benson looked pretty good. Tony Pollard probably holding on to that gig, but that offense is kind of anemic. So this wide receiver group, I know McLaurin didn't do much, and Golden, we're still trying to figure out his role. But I think the ceiling for this wide receiver group, I mean, even Brian Thomas Jr., who the hell knows? That was such a strange week one where he scored on a rushing touchdown. But I think in general, this wide receiver group has a ceiling that's pretty high.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I mean, Brian Thomas, yeah, weird, weird stat line, right? Like one reception on 7 targets. I was watching Red Zone, so because obviously I wasn't watching the Jags game.
I was watching the Jags game. I through the whole delay, I didn't even change it.
Quite a few of them were pretty uncatchable. Trevor Lawrence was struggling a fair bit yesterday. That kind of runs in.
Just so it doesn't sound like I'm insane, I watched 7 games at once. So
there you go.
I could have changed it. The only game I wasn't watching was Arizona Saints, which I could have changed that game to, and I was like, it's not worth it.
But yeah. So I feel good about Brian Thomas. McLaurin, that was an interesting one. I think that offense is enough that you're going to be excited about it, although they did seem to really be interested in scheming touches for Debo Samuel, like more than I ever anticipated. So that's pretty interesting. And then they made an interesting trade that obviously I don't think didn't work out week one, but trading Ayuk for Juwan Jennings, and then Juwan Jennings ended up getting a little bit hurt, had a clean MRI. They're doing a CT, which means it hurts him. George Kittle goes down. So that was kind of who we expected the ball to get thrown to entirely, and now it's wide open. So if Jennings is healthy, that's interesting. But then again, if Ayuk comes back and Kittle's still dealing with – it's a hamstring, so you know it's the whole year that's going to be his issue. So very interesting trade, kind of see how that one goes.
Yeah, this is an interesting team because of how good the depth looks in general. When you have, like, Baker Mayfield, a top 10 quarterback on the bench, when you have you have David Montgomery and Matthew Golden and Juwan Jennings and Shakir and, well, theoretically Kincaid, although Engram got hurt. You know, that's like a really good bench for this team. It might be enough to get them to the playoffs if they are dealing with injuries and bye weeks and all that other stuff. How about IDP here? Which number is it? Number five IDP.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it needs a little bit of help. They're running a couple of the split designation DE linebackers, which makes a lot of sense. Abdul Carter was a nice add. Danielle Hunter, I think you're going to feel good about. Jalen Walker might take a little bit, kind of see. AJ Epinesa, another guy we're kind of always hoping for. It's not really kind of blowing anyone's minds. There's a lot of Giants on it, ex-Giants, current Giants, which is kind of interesting. Xavier McKinney's a nice safety to have. That'll kind of give you a decent safety group. Yeah, it's not going to be winning weeks for it, but it does have enough kind of floor production, although the linebacker room I do think is a little weak. You don't have a real kind of tackle monster in there.
5.4 team score, just the stash rostering Gardner Minshew. Number 7, Atlanta Arrogant Bastards. Atlanta Arrogant Bastards here. We do come in with this team as a bit of a weaker redraft situation, number 10 in total and starter redraft value. When you look positionally here, running back is sort of a standout position. Jahmyr Gibbs, DeAndre Swift, RJ Harvey. They picked up Harvey at 1.05, which is actually a pretty early selection. I don't see him go quite that early often, so it's interesting to see that he went 1.05 here. But he rounds out the starters. They also have new Eagle Tank Bigsby on the roster.
Ouch.
TJ Hockenson at tight end. David Njoku at tight end. Tight end is the other position in the top half of the league. Number four in redraft value there. Luke, give me some reason for optimism at wide receiver. It's the number 11 group in redraft value, number 12 in dynasty value. It's looking a bit soft.
Yeah, I mean, so I'd say upside, you maybe had to start Marquise Brown, and then Worthy left the game immediately, and you got upwards of 19 points from Marquise Brown, which is very nice from Hollywood kind of showing up there. I mean, the downside, you already mentioned Tennessee kind of looked anemic. We did see a little bit from Cam Ward, but I mean, I just don't think you're going to see a tremendous amount of that offense, and even if Calvin Ridley can kind of establish himself as the guy, I don't know if that kind of that number is going to be there. Waddle, I mean, immediately having a soft kind of injury that he's getting looked at, and that Dolphins team, wow, I don't know. Mm. I really wanted to kind of believe that Tua could become, but I think he's washed at this point. He looked so lost out there.
The sad thing is, I really like Mike McDaniel. I think he's like,
yeah, I do too.
Like, his quotes are great, and I'm going to miss him when he's fired in week 5. It's going to be a shame.
Yeah, he's done. He's definitely done, for sure. Olave, I think, I mean, healthy, it maybe could be interesting, but again, that offense looks like it's going to be in trouble. I didn't love what I saw out of Spencer Rattler. I mean, there's the one game you said you weren't watching directly, but Rattler was using his legs and moving platform a fair bit, but it really didn't feel like he was getting good reads downfield, so that kind of is a little bit scary. I think I struggle with the Harvey pick when you know that Tet McMillan was there. I just think it makes more sense for kind of the kind of overall holistic look at this team, as you would just feel a little bit better if you knew you had a little bit of a blue chip prospect on the wide receiver line, because I feel good about Gibbs, Swift. I mean, obviously you would have nothing beyond that now. Like, RJ Harvey becomes pretty important now that Tank Bigsby's dead, which I'm really sorry for this owner, but he's dead. The Eagles immediately put out like a memo and they're like, hey, we just really like Tank Bigsby for his return skills. Don't worry about Will Shipley's ribs. And everyone's like, we didn't even ask about Will Shipley's ribs, and you came out and told us that he was fine on the depth chart. Like, that's horrifying to hear.
Another sort of older offensive group, 27.3 average starter age. They are holding their dynasty value. They actually move up to number 9 at the dynasty ranking. RJ Harvey gaining, Calvin Ridley losing, kind of offsetting each other. It is the number 2 IDP group. They got that going for them.
They do. They need some work done. I mean, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's hurt at the moment. Jesse Bates is nice. Again, playing the kind of tweener side of the DE linebacker. Carrying too many defensive tackles, for my opinion. I mean, if you don't have to start them, there's not that many that are worth starting. Quinton Williams is absolutely one of them. He starts for you all day. We love that. Williams, Will Anderson, Max Crosby, George Karlaftis, who really looks like he's going to take a step up and become one of the better pass rushers in the NFL this year. That's Spags' defense. That all feels really good. So there's a lot to like here on the IDP side. I just, yeah, it'll be interesting. This team's right on the edge. You really hope that Detroit's offense kind of figures it out and Gibbs can really kind of carry your running back side, because he's where your big point guy is going to be for most of this roster.
I will say I like the draft outside of RJ Harvey pick was a little early. I don't necessarily hate it per se.
No,
but I really like
the
round.
It's in the realm.
The round 2 pick, Trey Harris, we'll see what he can do. If Herbert can get that offense going the way he was in week 1, if Harris can get on the field, you'd have to imagine he'll produce something. And I even like them taking Jackson Dart in round 3. Jordan Love, I think, is much better than QB17, which is his consensus ranking. But I'm not a big Drake May believer, and Dak Prescott getting up there in years. So I don't hate the idea of adding a guy late like that. 5.41 team score. Just the tumbleweed sticker, no other sticker. All right, number 6, Grover Beach Scoundrels 3. Grover Beach Scoundrels 3. Trades for TJ Watt. They give up the 2.11. They add TJ Watt. He's a big name, although you and Adam, our IDP experts, don't have him as like the highest rated defensive end anymore.
No, I mean, he's starting to slip. I mean, if you're getting, I think he's going to be a linebacker for this team, which makes him a little bit more interesting when you kind of get that dual designation from him. Yeah, I think 211 feels fine. It's kind of a, if it's kind of a you're going for it trade, in my opinion. It's if you're not getting enough value from the trade that you're just like, oh, this is a good deal for TJ Watt. But if you needed him, which he automatically becomes one of your better starters, I don't love that you're pairing him and Highsmith together so much. That's a little bit of stress, especially for a bye week. Or if one of them gets injured, it actually doesn't help you as much as it does in other positions, because in a defensive line, if one guy goes down, it creates a much different schematic issue that all of a sudden, if you don't have two marquee pass rushers, all of a sudden the other guy doesn't get a bunch of additional receptions or targets. He ends up getting more double teams, and it ends up hurting him more than helping. Nick Bonito, nice little add on top, got that big payday, showed up really well week one. Will McDonald got a sack week one. So yeah, really strong defensive line. TJ Watt being added to it is quite nice. All in all, I think that's a decent room. I know we don't have it ranked incredibly high at IDP 9, but I think it's a decent start. This is a team that had a single draft pick this year, 111, Tyler Warren. That feels really good, especially after what we got to see out of him in week one.
Yeah, so, okay, so let's start there. I didn't have much of an opinion between the two tight ends preseason started, and I was watching both of them. I'm like, Loveland just feels like a big, oafy guy who's going to catch passes and then pretty much fall down immediately. Warren is like, he's the yards after the catch tight end, which he's just way more exciting from a fantasy perspective, in my opinion. So getting him at 1.11, I am all in on that, and his usage looked great in week one. This roster overall number 8 in starter and total redraft value. Finally, we get a younger offensive group. I feel like we haven't seen a team under 27 years old per starter on offense until now, which is crazy. This team comes in at 25 flat for the average starter age. And, of course, they gain some dynasty value here. It looks like they move up to number 7 in the dynasty rankings, thanks to Breece Hall and Tyler Warren and a little bit of Jackson Smith and Jigba gaining dynasty value here. Number two running backs. That's the calling card here. Saquon Barkley, James Cook, Breece Hall. I even like Tyrone Tracy. I know he didn't put up the greatest stat line in week one. I think he can be a top 20 back if that offense can get going at all. And oh, by the way, Travis Etienne here as well. The second, I think, leading rusher so far.
Yeah, that was phenomenal, right? So. Yeah, I feel I was hammering my drum for Travis Etienne. It doesn't feel as good on this show because now everyone's like, well, duh. But he definitely was going to – I was making fun of Fantasy Pros all summer. I was just running back 32 was just the easiest bar to clear of all time. And, now they've clearly – were very happy with what they saw yesterday, sending Bigsby out the door. It's a really, really good running back room, like you mentioned. Now, I think I have some pretty large concerns about the wide receiver room. Ricky Purcell might be the only healthy receiver in San Francisco. That could be really good, although we're also seeing the Brock Purdy might not play. Toe issue, kind of seeing what that looks like. Saw excellent usage out of Deebo Samuel, so that's nice. However, how that kind of transitions when Terry McLaurin becomes more of a piece of the offense like his talent pushes for. Whether Deebo can kind of give you enough star ability there remains to be seen. Beyond that, it's kind of tough. Darnell Mooney, we'll see. Keenan Allen's going to be what Keenan Allen does. You're never going to want to start him at this point. I think there's just not enough gas in the tank. He'll get you enough receptions to make you not super sad, but you're never going to be breaking kind of that 10-point threshold with him, I don't think, unless you're just really getting lucky with touchdowns. So that part all really hurts. I mean, and then I think the quarterback room, as of this week, do we feel that we should probably be flipping Justin Herbert and Brock Purdy? Because it really looked like they were going to let Herbert huck that thing a bit.
Yeah, if Herbert's getting that many attempts, then yes, Herbert is a top 10 quarterback, and you feel pretty good with him moving forward. Just the one draft pick this year is kind of a bummer, but it looks like they have all their future draft capital in stock. I mean, the question here is, you know, it's a young team. So if we get some growth this season, if they look like they're approaching playoff position, are you moving future draft capital to sort of go for something this year? Are you trying to hold on to that future draft capital? I think that's going to be an interesting question here. They already gave up the 2.11 for TJ Watt. It feels like they're a team that a manager here that might be willing to sort of part with some of that draft capital to make some moves.
Yeah, I think between the draft capital and the running back depth, I really do think there's an opportunity for this team, especially you do see a continuation on Tyler Warren looking like he's going to be a real true tight end one. But yeah, it's absolutely worth giving it a pretty serious consideration to go find yourself a marquee wide receiver.
5.44 is the team score. RML approved. Highest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. Number 5, Silver Oak Eagles. Silver Oak Eagles, a contender roster. Number 3 in total and sort of redraft value, with Jaden Daniels at QB, and then the number 2 wide receiver group, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, Garrett Wilson. Well, Wilson performed well anyway in week 1. Unfortunately, injuries are already becoming a thing here. At least an injury to George Kittle is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz, yeah. I guess, has been acceptable over the last like 4 or 5 weeks of regular season play, because he scored a touchdown again this week. But I don't think you want to start him long term, and it looks like they might have to.
Yeah, they were saying, yeah, between 3 and 5 weeks, an IR stint is not out of the realm of possibility. Hamstring is just the worst part of it to me. Soft tissue, something that could get back to 85-90% and then suddenly have a setback that you're missing multiple weeks again, is just a really, really real bummer for players. Really fun to watch in George Kittle. So that part is, yeah, pretty tremendous. And then obviously, I mean, depending on who this owner chose to start, they had some very different weeks, because if we assume that A.J. Brown and T. Higgins went in, I think they combined for about 10 points. Garrett Wilson put up 22 for you. DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers, I thought, had some pretty good chemistry. Rodgers looked like he had some solid zip on the ball and actually looked like he had some momentum, being able to kind of actually escape pockets and move platform and throw on the run. So if that can continue, DK Metcalf might be a bit of a game saver. I mean, yeah, that's kind of where I feel about that. Obviously, A.J. Brown's going to see more than one target moving into that. He was injured going into that game, so I do think it was a bit of a script on how that was going to go, as well as just the Eagles do whatever is working.
Yeah.
And it was running the football, and that's just what's going to end up happening there. T. Higgins is probably the bigger question mark. I don't think you'll see Joe Burrow have such a terrible game again. Cleveland's defense is better than everyone likes to remember. The Browns are a terrible organization. They do tend to build at least top 15 defenses fairly consistently, and Myles Garrett is a game wrecker on his own. Running back room's pretty interesting, though. How do you feel about it? Do you think Javonte Williams is for real after watching that Thursday night football game?
If he gets the volume, it doesn't matter.
Yes,
I mean, that's the thing. Matter. He was at, like, what, 74% or something like that? Like, I've never been a big Javonte Williams guy. He's a tackle seeker. I don't like tackle seekers. I don't like guys who try to find people to tackle them just to try to break the tackle, and that's what he consistently does. That said, Devon Achane, Javonte Williams, I mean, if you're getting that kind of performance from them consistently, then you're completely fine here. It's a two-person running back group, which is pretty scary. I mean, Brian Robinson, barring some injury, further injury to Christian McCaffrey, you can't really start him that much. There's no one else here. Nick Chubb. I mean, the problem isn't necessarily that Achane and Williams can't be an okay duo. It's the problem that there's no one behind them at all.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the exact problem that they had with tight end, right? Is that Kittle goes down, there wasn't anyone behind them. It's a very similar story at running back. They've got a little bit of depth at, obviously, quarterback and wide receiver to some degree. But yeah, that is going to really be a tough one to kind of move past. And I don't really see any kind of easy solutions as far as making quick moves, unless you're willing to move off Jaden Daniels, which I don't know a single Jaden Daniels owner who is, specifically when you're sitting on Tua and Daniel Jones in the background there. So yeah, it's a bit of a tough one.
This year's draft also not helping, because no first or second round pick this season, and also they're number 11 in future draft capital. No picks in the first 3 rounds next year.
Yeah, so it increasingly limits your mobility of being able to try to make anything kind of happen. From an IDP standpoint, this is a team who's obviously had playoff aspirations as a contending roster, like we discussed. I mean, it's not bad. Zach Bond, I think, is a very good linebacker who is going to produce in that defense fairly well. Frankie Louvu, a good tackle guy. O-line's a little bit to be desired. Josh Hines-Allen, I don't know what happened to him in that game, but he took it off. He played snaps, I checked, but he did not make anything happen. Trey Hendrickson came back and looked pretty good. That was nice to see. Yeah, the other side of they have Tarion Johnson and Will Johnson for cornerbacks. I'm not a big fan of owning cornerbacks. I know your only safety is Malachi Starks, so you're not getting a tremendous amount of production from them, but there are not a lot of saviors on this IDP side for an offense that's already, you know, a little bit in the struggle bus.
Yeah, but the big thing right now is can they survive, you know, the early A.J. Brown, if these are, like, struggles early in the season with an injury and obviously losing Kittle. This team just needs to fight for a playoff spot, because if they can get healthy and get right, this roster's really good, and they should have an absolute chance. 6.07 is the team score. Helmet Sickers, Eric Jordan, top-rated tight end position, but let's play this one. Asteroid Field.
What are you doing? You're not actually going into an asteroid field.
They'd be crazy to follow us, wouldn't they?
For losing between $25 and $50 of dynasty value, this team loses $35 of dynasty value, pushes them down to number four in the dynasty rankings. Kittle, Sutton, the big dynasty losers here. Number four, Dayton Jackals, the old Dayton Jackals. Well, you combine a dark horse roster on offense, number four in total and starter redraft value, with an elite number one IDP group. And Luke, I think you get a solid chance to make some noise at the end of the season here.
If you're ever going to win weeks on IDP, it's when you have very, very good D linemen who produce crazy weeks with sacks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, a la Nick Bosa this week. Micah Parsons, I think, looked absolutely phenomenal with Green Bay, although I will say watching the game, the announcers were a little too excited about it. And then Aiden Hutchinson, tremendous young talent. Didn't have an amazing game, was schemed out a fair bit. But yeah, that's a real good 1-2-3. Montez Sweat's a very nice 4. Jermaine Pratt isn't a linebacker I'm very excited about. Vita Vey is a fine defensive tackle. And then owning cornerbacks, I don't know. There's got to be some safeties. There's got to be some safeties out there. Jair Alexander looked like he doesn't belong in the NFL after last night. Jalen Ramsey looked okay. I mean, he had a nice little show tackle to win a football game. That'll always keep him in everybody's mind. But that DL's everything, and it is the entirety of the package. That will win you weeks. It might be a little bit swingy because you don't kind of get them as much safety from like a pure kind of linebacker build where you're just going to be really kind of guaranteed those tackles. But when those guys pop off, most scoring had Nick Bosa putting up 35 plus, depending on what kind of your bonuses were on quarterback hits. Amongst other things, he could have been sneaking and looking at 40. Yeah, very, very good player. Now, that's amazing. Offense, I think you definitely have to refer to it as a dark horse.
Well, it's, you know,
quarterback room is tough.
The offense is very much like have and have not. Wide receiver and tight end, both top three. So we should maybe start there. Jamar Chase, CD Lamb. That's a pretty good one, too. Wide receiver spot. Jameson Williams, the number three. Jacoby Myers had a nice week one game, is here as a projected starter as well. And then, of course, Trey McBride is here. Holding down the tight end spot. So this team, if they're going to go anywhere, it's going to be on the backs of the wide receivers and the tight end. The quarterbacks and running backs leave a bit to be desired. Michael Penix Jr. was okay. In week one. Probably going to be the week two starter for this team. Hopefully they started in week one. Bryce Young.
Bryce Young again, the guy who I was really kind of put a little bit too much faith into a small sample size at the end of the season. Was hoping
you shouldn't use the word small when we're talking about Bryce.
I know. he looked awful again last game. Looked lost, looked really lacked confidence. I think the only thing I will say that will be kind of maybe an uplift for Bryce Young is that McMillan looks just like an ISO beast. If you put him one-on-one against someone, I just think he's one of those wide receivers so you can just be like, I will throw it near him and he will make me look good. So that might be something to really kind of help Bryce Young out. Probably a starter.
Running back also not in great form right now. Josh Jacobs. It's just Josh Jacobs. They drafted Quinshon Judkins at 1.06, and he signed, a couple days ago? So hopefully he's good to go for week two. We'll see. It would definitely help because right now Jacobs was the only running back in the top 45 in consensus redraft value. There's no one else on this roster barring injury to a starter. You know, if Jonathan Taylor goes down, then I guess DJ Giddens becomes interesting because he got like 100% of the non-Jonathan Taylor carries in week one there. I also like the Jaden Higgins pick at 2.06. I think long-term he's an interesting name to keep an eye on. Not that this wide receiver group needs a ton of help. That's it. Number 10 in future draft capital. It's kind of the only blemish here. They don't have a 26th third, and we use dynamic draft pick evaluations. So because this team is in the top four in redraft value, their own picks are devalued. Anything else you want to talk about here?
I like the Arroyo pick at 306. Just want to say his owner had a nice draft. Other than that, no.
Team score, 6.41. Helmet stickers, let's see. Code Red, worst rated quarterback position. The Water Boy, highest rated IDP. Let's play this one. Good vibes only.
I only want good vibes around me tonight. No negativity in my life, just good vibes.
You know how often I get to play this one in a one quarterback league? Not often. Not often. This is for having Bryce Young as a projected starter. Because, well, we wanted good vibes. We were hoping for nothing but good vibes. We didn't want to think about the bad things that could possibly happen with Bryce Young. And then week one happened, and I don't know about those good vibes anymore. Number three, Boston Ivory Tower. Boston Ivory Tower. Let's see. They give up a 26th second round. This is the other side of the Geno Smith trade. What do you think about that deal, considering this team is currently starting Josh Allen as QB1?
Yeah, I mean, you need someone, right? 2020, yeah, I mean, based on kind of like where some other guys were getting drafted, I mean, you could have... It's tougher. It's fine. I really like Geno Smith. I don't think he's who I'm trying to acquire.
They couldn't get anyone better with a 26 second rounder.
I think you could have. Yeah, I think you probably could have. I mean, although we did the one other quarterback trade we did see was Stafford going for a two and an upgrade in the third. So maybe not, because I think I want Geno over Stafford. I don't know if that's such a hot take. But,
no, well, certainly yeah. With the injury, yeah. Or like the other question is, do you just hang on and just? I mean, you can play the waiver wire. We already have like a Brock Purdy injury, so like there's already going to be like backup quarterbacks playing. Like, if you really need a quarterback because of a bye week or Josh Allen gets hurt and he's only going to be out for a week, like maybe then. But it feels, I don't know, it feels expensive for Geno Smith. I guess we'll find out. Let's see. There's a lot to talk about here. This roster is. Despite the fact that the power ranking has this team number three, it's not like the most elite roster for 2025. They are number six in total redraft value, number five in starter redraft value. Certainly in the mix. Certainly in the mix. They're just not necessarily one of the elite rosters in the league. That said, they gain a lot of dynasty value here. $44 of dynasty gain. They move up to number three in the dynasty ranking, and that's on the back of the backs, I should say, of Ashton Jeanty, the 1.01, Ted McMillan, the 1.07, Colston Loveland, the 1.12. They also have Rome Odunze and Jordan Addison here gaining dynasty value as second-year players. This is very much a forward-focused offensive situation.
Yeah, this just reeks of a team who's been stacking draft picks for quite a few years in a row, and we're starting to really see it come to fruition. It's got a little bit more momentum coming in the next year with three additional firsts. Yeah, I've been excellent, right? I mean, not a lot of holes to poke in it. I think what we saw out of Ashton Jeanty week one is probably going to maybe, unfortunately, be a bit more of the reality of it. You're going to not see a tremendous amount of carries just the way the offense goes. You're going to really be relying on touchdowns. Kenneth Walker, I think, was really scary what we saw out of week one. But on the flip side of it, they also were able to – did they draft him or get
they
him
did.
Off the waiver
They drafted
they
Bill.
Drafted, they drafted Bill at 502. So that's an excellent little pickup. He looked the real deal, got not a tremendous amount of carries, but, you know, still getting 80 yards on it was pretty good. He might be someone who really starts to sneak into the starting for them there. So that could be a bit of a hinge point for them. I think the other side of another good draft pick, and when you have so many bullets to shoot, it becomes helpful. Harold Fannin looked tremendous.
Yes.
Just in the overall usage. There's obviously a lot of questions with that. One, Njoku's going to play into the game more. Two, how long does Flacco become the starter? And how does the offense transform when the quarterback changes? So Fannin's maybe not such a lock. Colston Loveland, we're seeing him in his kind of early period. And then Mark Andrews was a real letdown last week. Isaiah Likely injured, still somehow wasn't able to find himself as a big part of the game. Now, obviously, the Ravens were just running all the yards, so a bit of an issue there.
Are you bothered at all by how much attention this tight end position is getting for this team. They have Mark Andrews. They drafted Colston Loveland. They drafted Harold Fannin. They acquired Terrence Ferguson. They picked up Aronde Gadsden. There's just way too... They still have Tyler Higbee, Cade Stover here, Eric. There's just way too many tight... They don't need that many tight ends. Stop it.
They don't need that many. I mean, I would say Ferguson and Fannin both felt like pretty good draft value. So I think you already had Loveland, and then you kind of just take what comes to you and you hope. But yeah, tremendously deep to the point where it's a little silly.
They drafted four tight ends. You can't draft four tight ends.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Gadsden at 7-10 was just egregious. You needed to do something different there. That's just a meme pick at that point. But yeah, I mean, flipping over the IDP side of it, this is a team who isn't doing excellent at IDP, but they're not doing terrible. I mean, I wish I could tell you that I feel really good about Jalen Carter, but I don't at the moment. I'm an Eagles fan, and I haven't been so mad in a really long time. Knew he was an idiot, obviously, from a tragic history as it is, and continues to prove that he does not make good decisions. Is a tremendous player. I think it showed in the way Philly's defensive line worked without him how much he affects the game. Does get pretty good pass rush as a defensive tackle, so someone worth owning in IDP. Jonathan Greinert is an amazing defensive end. I regret my ranking of having him at 15. I feel bad about that in the moment. Thibodeau, another idiot. So you got two idiots on your team. Bit of a tough one. But does get that kind of dual eligibility. Usually ends up getting some linebacker, so that's nice. It's rough. You don't have a lot going on there. And maybe that's by design. Maybe this team's really thinking, I'm not quite ready to push, so why invest in IDP yet? Kind of let this mature for one more year on the tree, and then go big next year with your three firsts.
Well, the good news here, what happens this year is just kind of gravy, right? They're gaining so much dynasty value. They're number two in future draft capital with the two first-rounders, one of which is a high-value first-rounder coming from Kern River Rats, which I think was like the second team we talked about. No, that was the first team we talked about.
That's the
projected 1.01 next year. Yeah, this is an overall amazing situation. Hopefully they can get to the playoffs this year, but if not, I mean, they're still very much in position to be elite over the next few seasons. 6.85, team score, helmet stickers, gravity assist, gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Let's play this one brand new. For having they're tied for the most rookie starters here. Which brings us to number two, Valley Ridge Force. Valley Ridge Force. I guess we can start with that trade. This is the other side of that Brenton Strange trade. They picked him up to be their number two tight end. They do give up a 27 first rounder. In their heads, they're giving up what? Like the 1.11 in 2027, they think. So, or a very late first round pick in 2027. That's the goal. That still feels like even if Strange was their number one tight end now, I'd feel uneasy about that trade. The fact that they have Sam Laporta, I don't entirely understand it.
Yeah, I can't get my mind into a frame where that makes a ton of sense, because there's never a world where you want to be starting Strange, and you should never be trading for a first for a player you do not have intentions of starting immediately. That should be basic kind of dynasty arithmetic of it, is you should be drafting and drafting players in the first you expect to start. You should be trading first for players that you are starting. And that's just it's a tough one. Now, obviously, this owner has a good team. They drafted well or have been able to acquire players at a pretty good clip. So they know what they're doing. It looks weird. But number one running back room, I think, is the easiest place to start.
Or we could maybe start with the most exciting thing right now, which they had one pick in the first three rounds, and it was Amike Buka at 1.08, and that looks like a lot of fun right now. It's looking good.
Definitely had a ton of fun.
Especially when you add them to Malik Nabers and Drake London.
Totally. I'm assuming you started him because, yeah, I think you're going to, I think based on, yeah, you weren't starting like Jordan Mason. You probably weren't starting Downs based on the injuries. So, yeah, got those points immediately. Pretty exciting. Yeah, London looked good with Penix. Obviously, some tough drops there to really turn that score into something. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens with the offense. Russ Wilson didn't look great. Neighbors didn't look healthy. So, kind of see what happens there. But, yeah, very exciting young room. I'm a huge Josh Downs fan. I do think he has some potential to pop if Daniel Jones keeps playing well. Cooper Kupp, we didn't see a lot out of in Seattle. That was maybe a bit of a scary thing as far as your depth goes. Not a heck of a whole lot to ride there. Not a lot of depth at any of the positions, really, right? Not, even when we go to that running back room.
Not started, by the way. Not started.
Not started. No, that's too bad.
Because they have Bucky Irving. So they went with Jonathan Taylor and Bucky Irving and obviously Bijan, who did his 50-yard touchdown. He did well there, but yeah. Maybe next week.
Bummer. Maybe next week. Probably guaranteed next week, and then it'll be, and then he'll have a more pedestrian week. Maybe just one touchdown. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So Bijan, Jonathan Taylor, Bucky Irving is a nice 1-2-3. Like you mentioned, you got three.
It's the number one running back group for redraft. Number one for dynasty. Overall, we have the number two roster in the league here. There's no real weakness. You know, number five at quarterback, but that. That's Joe Burrow, so you probably feel okay long-term. Sam Laporta at tight end. Yeah, good luck. I mean, this is one of the teams that should absolutely be there at the end. It looks like they're not going to win in week one, which is sometimes how it happens. Totally. But, yeah, this is definitely one of the elite rosters.
Yeah, I think as long as people stay healthy, which is how fantasy football works, so it's kind of something that doesn't need to be said, is, yeah, this team has nothing that'll really kind of slow them down outside of, you know, Joe Burrow having a horrible week, and we can't stop that from happening. heavy sighs. But yeah, just kind of a bit of a lack of depth overall. I mean, Jordan Mason, if we want to pull anything out of a very terrible Monday night game, is out snapping and out touching Aaron Jones already. So that maybe gives you a little bit of a look. It's something to keep an eye on.
The other good thing here, 24.4 average starter age, they move up to number one in dynasty value. Laporta, Igbuka, Neighbors, all gaining big dynasty value.
Young.
So yeah, so while this team technically number two has every chance to win this year, they should be around for year after year after year. Should absolutely be in the mix. 7.36 is the team score. Helmet stickers here. Gravity assist gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Porsche 911 top rated running back position. Construct additional pylons. Lease draft capital. Let's play this one. Cool kids. For having the youngest projected starting lineup in the league, I just want to say NFL Films or HBO or whatever took my song and used it on Hard Knocks. I mean, I've been using that song since May. Now, it's not like the song's been around since like 2013 or whatever, but who cares? It's my song right now, and they use it on Hard Knocks. There's no way that was a coincidence. No way.
Yeah, it must be a client.
One
of the guys working.
They got a show in May, and then they were like, we should use it on Hard Knock. Number one, Bear Lake Berserkers. Or Bear Lake Berserkers. Whichever. Whichever one's right. Maybe none of them. I always get in trouble for mispronouncing Berserkers or Berserkers. So I'll just use both. For the rest of the show, I'll just use both. That's fine. Where do we want to start here? How about the number one roster in the league? Number one in total and start of redraft value. Number one quarterback with Lamar and Kyler Murray here. Every position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, all top three. So Christian McCaffrey, Kyren Williams, Jaylen Warren, Zach Charbonnet, who looks like the 1A now for the Seahawks.
Absolutely.
Top three running back group here, and then the number one wide receiver group, Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, Mike Evans. Zay Flowers was good. They may not be having the best week if they didn't start Zay Flowers. Jefferson.
The J.J. McCarthy mystery box is not looking excellent at the moment.
No, not great.
Yeah, the wide receiver room is obviously very, very strong. Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua looked great. Saw some analysis that they lined him up in the slot for a career high, kind of putting him straight into what we saw out of peak Cooper Kupp. And that's exactly what we want to see in a Sean McVay offense, is if he just gets that volume, gets hit in the head slightly less. Very, very exciting for how he's going to be usage. Mike Evans looks like Mike Evans for the most part, although Ibuka is kind of a bit of a scary kind of transitionary player. If he can kind of really start to take over, and then when Godwin comes back and they all kind of start to cannibalize each other, might be looking at the first season and we don't see 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns out of Mike Evans, which would be kind of sad. Maybe impossible. And then, like you mentioned, yeah, hopefully you started Zay Flowers, because yeah, he went off. And then nice depth with Jerry Jeudy even following up. So yeah, very, very good and obvious number one wide receiver room. Running back's a little interesting. We have number 3 from a redraft perspective, number 7 from a dynasty perspective. Do you feel good enough about Christian McCaffrey if he's the only thing going in San Francisco? Is that fine, or is that scary?
Yeah, that's fine until you see otherwise, it's fine, right? Like, I know it's standard scoring, so they're not getting points for him just catching the ball and doing nothing with it, but he's just going to get just so many attempts and enough yardage that it probably just works out. And hopefully once the playoffs are rolling around, he's back into an offense that has other weapons and they're actually moving the ball and scoring things. You know, Kyren, I almost worry about a little bit more, maybe? Like, because, I don't know. The Rams, he didn't have a great game in week one, and I just...
No.
It just feels like Kyren is... If the defense is able to focus on him at all, he's not going to be a top 10 running back. That's sort of how I feel about Kyren Williams. He's just been in a great situation where the defense can never really focus on him at all. So does that change this year with Stafford being less than 100%? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford looked smooth. Stafford looked better than I was expecting him to look. He wasn't prolific by any means. But, I mean, 21 for 29, 245 yards was okay. Puka Nacua definitely ate up most of the targets. And I agree, Kyren Williams did not look good. But if he's in enough of the red zone opportunities, which I think we saw, he'll get enough of the touchdowns to kind of give you a Josh Jacobs-like season where you're like, oh, great, a very pedestrian average for carries. But if he gets 8-plus touchdowns, you're fine with it.
Yeah, he's scoring those 1-yard touchdowns. The big thing here, while the Valley Ridge Force was very young and they're gaining dynasty value, the Berserkers, are old. 28.6 average starter age on offense. They're losing over $50 of dynasty value. This team falls to number 2 in the dynasty ranking, so they need to win titles. I don't know if they won last year, but hopefully they won last year, and hopefully they can win this year, because you know the draft picks aren't necessarily there. No picks in the first 3 rounds this year. They picked up Woody Marks at 4.08. They are number 6 in future draft capital. They have a couple first-rounders next year, but both of those are expected to be late first rounders, so it might take, you know, after this season, there might be a little bit of a rebuild coming. We'll have to see how that works out. What do you think about IDP here? It's not the greatest IDP group. Are you worried about it holding
them back?
It's
not the greatest.
Back?
I mean, I honestly, I haven't seen a lot. I didn't see a single world beater team in IDP, which leads me to believe that I think there's a little bit of work that can be done on the waivers. There's a little bit of movement. Dallas Turner is not who I want to be starting week in and week out in defensive tackle. Edgerrin Cooper is a fine linebacker. You guys really like cornerbacks. I don't know. There's got to be like 25 safeties that I would start on waivers. I'm dead serious, guys. Do it. Go get those tackles. If there are no tackles available for points, which I have a sneaking suspicion in the back of my head, that might be it. But Deron Bland is a good cornerback as far as fantasy goes, because I'm fine. You're fine with your cornerbacks getting burnt, which is what Deron Bland does. He gambles a lot. But when it works out for you, you get fantasy points because you will get that ball. So the IDP is fine, but I do think for any of the teams that we've gone through that we're really talking about trying to win a championship, there's some meat on the bones for IDP improvement.
Yeah, this is a very good team, and there's no reason that they can't win this season. Certainly one of the teams to beat here. It'll just be interesting to see how far they can go in terms of, like, how many years can they stay at the top. 7.44 is the team score. Helmet stickers, iPhone, top-rated wide receiver position. Deep Space Drift loses over $50 of dynasty value. It's giving it. Lowest-rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. Coca-Cola, top-rated quarterback position. Let's play this one. It's Magazine Dreams.
I won't let anything stop me from accomplishing this goal. 24 hours a day. There's no days off. We can't do this at 90% or even 99%. Take it from me. If you're not 100%, you will never be successful. You got to burn the boats and burn the bridges and commit all energy. That's what separates one from being a champion, one from not being a champ. Jump in the trenches, face the enemy. This is the most important thing I will ever do.
There you go. Magazine Dreams for the top-rated team. We did it. We counted down 12 to 1. Thank you so much to Get a Life. Thank you so much to Rob for setting this all up. You can follow me on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Blue Sky at Andy RML. Luke, how about you?
Blue Sky at Dynasty Diehard.
Have a great season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.